Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Do you ever meet a YouTuber that has like 30,000? Really, and you ever meet anyone that flexes on you and you're like, oh, I don't, you tell them some Disney fact and they're like, oh, well, I run a YouTube channel that has 50,000 subscribers. I think I'd know. And then you're like, bitch, please. Now, that's a very specific situation.
I know, right?
Yeah. And that's how I say it too. Hi, my name is Kevin Perger, and I am the guest this week, month, day. I don't know how common this podcast comes out, but I'm the guest this week, month, day on the first podcast, and I'm really excited to be here.
Welcome to the first podcast.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today, and with me, as always, I have Lars. And joining us this time is Kevin. Thank you once again.
Joe, can you get excited, please? This is like really not. Let's get some energy. Let's get some chutzpah.
I think that's about right for me. I think that's what I deserve.
Wow.
And Kevin.
No. You deserve better. Sorry. Let me start over.
The chat says they're excited, so that's great.
Thank you so much for joining us this week.
Now it's just an authentic.
Yeah, this sounds way worse.
Well, I'm trying to build up a natural excitement of, I feel like I'm excited. I am sorry, Lars, if it's not being conveyed. Let me start over again.
Please.
Thank you for joining us once again. My name is Joe. I'm going to be your co-host today. With me, as always, I have Lars. And joining us this week from Defunct Land, my favorite Disney podcast and YouTube channel, we have Kevin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Hey, Kevin. So I have a quick question, by the way. When we say Kevin from Defunct Land, how accurate is that? Like, how much of the process are you specifically responsible for?
I'm responsible for 100% of the process of making the episodes. But those are like, so I do everything. Mm-hmm. But then there are people that come in and do some of the things better. So, for instance, I do the audio editing, but recently, for the past year or so, I've been using my audio editor, Nate Beagle. He comes in and does the audio editing. So, yeah, so I do 100% of the things just, like, interchangeably. Like, sometimes Corvin will come in and fact check, and other times I'll have a writer come in. But, you know, Maybe on any given episode, I'm probably not doing 100% of the things. But over the course of all the episodes, I do all the things.
Do you come up with the ideas for the episodes, or do you have like a staff that sits around and
twiddles their thumbs?
Well, I have a Patreon, and we kind of discuss some ideas what they want to see, and then I mainly come up with the ideas myself. I mean, come up with is a relative phrase when you're talking about things that have happened,
right?
Because it's, you know, it's not, I didn't make it up; it's just out there. So yeah,
you don't invent the history.
He doesn't cause the demise of those buildings.
No, I was not. That's the major twist at the final episode, is that it was my fault for the past 80 years.
You're a time lord.
You're going to go back and it's going to be a reveal, and you're going to see how I'm in the background of every single demolition, like every single photo that was destroyed.
The puzzle pieces come together. It all makes sense.
Someone
would be the greatest twist of all time.
Someone else starts narrating. Kevin just disappeared.
The stare is the exact same from Disney to Eisner.
He was like Kobashi or whatever the Kevin Spacey character in The Usual Suspects was.
Kevin was way off. It's Geyser Sozay.
What gave you the idea to start the channel?
Money. I'm just kidding. It was not profitable for a long time.
Totally valid reason, by the way, like to make money.
No, it's a terrible, for YouTube, if you go in it to make money, that's a real bad start because, you do eventually if you go well, but if you're going in like, all right, my income is going to be dependent on this idea I have. Ooh, that's a rough go.
Let me quit my job and do YouTube full time.
Yeah. Well, and so the, so anyways, so no, it was not for money. And it's still, I don't do it for money. There's never a day where I'm doing my job and I'm like, wow, man, if I wasn't getting paid right now, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm very happy with the channel and what I get to do. But to answer your question, so I was a Wikipedia addict. I was a huge fan of Bright Sun Films. I was a documentary filmmaker on other subjects. It was a combination of things. I grew up in Kansas. I never really got to go to Disney World. I think I went twice as a kid, and Disneyland, I got to go more because I had family in California. You know, I was really interested in both parks, but it wasn't something, you know, we could just do, and we could just go whenever we wanted. And so with that came this kind of fascination for the things I missed out on, or the things that I got to experience and were gone by the next time I did. And then also, you know, I would read in these books, you know, before message boards and before the internet, I would read in, you know, these books of these old attractions. It was just so weird to think that an attraction used to be there and it wasn't there anymore. And that's kind of a creepy, kind of a serene almost feeling, like a lukewarm terror. And so I kind of went with that and made my first episode on extraterrestrial alien encounter. And I just did things that really, you know, interested me. A lot of it came from Brian Krosnick's theme park tourist series. He had Disaster Files. He does a series that he like does article versions of these stories, and those were really great. And so I kind of came in and did video versions using that article and other sources to create a few Defunctland episodes. And then eventually, you know, I got a bunch of more research, a bunch of more resources, and it just grew and grew and grew. And as it grew, I was able to spend more on production, spend more on the episodes, you know, and it kind of became what it is today. I mean, still very low budget episodes, but we're able to, you know, do a original song or pay someone to do good voiceover editing, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, very humble origins of fascination.
Yeah. You had mentioned stuff being there one day and then it's not there anymore. I remember one day I went on Malibuumer.
Okay.
And it was fun. I loved it a lot. You know, it was a great ride. You had to be 52 inches to go on Malibuumer. And I remember in fifth grade, I was apparently 52 inches because I was just tall enough to go on. And then it was gone. And I was, you know, I was sad. I was disappointed because it was one of my favorite rides. And it really puts into perspective, your favorite ride can be gone before you know it. And you just have to appreciate what's in the now.
Live in the now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
The now, Kevin.
It's all about the now. The
now.
The now.
The now, Lars and Kevin.
No, I think that's really interesting, though. I think it's kind of creepy in a way. You actually mentioned that. You were saying there's something creepy to it. And it really creeped me out when I was watching your video. I think it was called Superstar Limo, where you talked about how some of the not quite animatronics got repurposed. And it's like the same figures, but now they're robots. That was super creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. It's terrifying. And there's sorry, I just hit the mic. I just realized that. It's terrifying to think that that's the case. That's the case in a lot of rides. I think it's creepy in Splash Mountain at Disneyland how a bunch of the animatronics were from America Sings, which was an old show about to celebrate the bicentennial of America. It's there's a lot of weirdness to everything. A lot of oddities. I don't know. I think that's part of it. I think it's part of seeing like, oh, that's still there, like that structure. Even in Magic Kingdom, if you go into Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, you can still see the framework that was the timekeeper. Or
in Disney World?
In Disney World, yeah. You can still see like, oh, that gear show, that like that gear right there is not there because of Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor. It's there because the previous attraction, and they just didn't want to take it out, or they thought, well, it kind of works for what we're doing now.
It was integral to the structure of the building.
No, it was just a flourish that they just
if they took it out, the building was going to collapse?
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like the Yeti, which is broken, and they can only fix it by destroying the mountain, which is a fantastic kind of, I think it's like not an allegory. Maybe it's an allegory. Maybe like a fable. Like you can only fix the Yeti by destroying the mountain. Did I say Matterhorn? I meant Expedition Everest.
You know, there's a basketball court up there.
In Matterhorn.
Why?
It's, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. I heard it was because when they were building it, they didn't have permission from the city to build a mountain.
You're wrong.
Because, or a roller coaster inside of a mountain or something, because there was already a mountain, something. But they had permission to build a gym.
So they built a mountain-shaped gym. That is
gym.
Not correct.
Oh, okay.
It was not a zoning thing. It was just because they just put it in there.
Joe, he just shut you the fuck down.
I'm sorry.
I said correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't want to grind. I want to yes and you as much as I can, but that's unfortunately not the case.
Well, I didn't know if it was true or not. That's just what I heard.
But that is a very, very common theme park fact that is not necessarily the case. Also, that all the spires on Cinderella Castle can be removed when there's a hurricane is another one of those. That's like,
they actually cannot be?
No. I mean, I think certain parts of it can, but it definitely, you can't deconstruct it in a way to save it from a hurricane. It actually will withstand a hurricane, especially because Orlando is about an hour inland. But regardless, yeah, there's a bunch of those, like, you know, very common, like BuzzFeed, not nothing against BuzzFeed, but they commonly will pound these facts into your head. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's not even stuff like, extraterrestrial alien encounter closed down because it was too scary. And it's like, well, not really.
Is it true that the Matterhorn is actually a landing base for UFOs?
That is true. Yeah. But how did you know that?
Wait, shit. No, Joe, quick question, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Disneyland?
I've been there.
I've also been there.
Sure. I go there all the time.
What do you think about it, Joe?
It's a very happy place. You go there and you see, you know, it's great for people watching. It's great to just kill some time. It's great to hang out with your friends. It's really a great place to go and just to be, you know, immersed in the story and the excitement and the aura, the vibes of the place. You know, if you want a churro, the hotels are very well themed. You know, it's all of it. It's very, very nice.
And speaking of churros, Joe, I think we should talk about our sponsor.
Amazon?
Yes, amazon.team1podcast.com is the link that you should bookmark today.
Kevin, you ever go on amazon.com?
You ever heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of amazon.com.
You were probably on there today.
No, but maybe.
It's a very common website. People use it all the time.
That's my improv shtick, is not yes and, it's no, but maybe.
No, but maybe.
It's plausible that many of the listeners might have been on there today even. So while you're there, check out your favorite products. You're going to check them out anyway. You might even buy a couple of them. So use our affiliate link, amazon.t1podcast.com.
The chat is saying, I was looking for a wig on there earlier. See?
And they have wigs on Amazon.
Yeah,
they do sell wigs.
They have everything on Amazon. You could probably order like eggs and stuff on Amazon if you really wanted to.
amazon.t1podcast.com. You'll thank me later.
It helps support the show, by the way, in a way that doesn't cost you any extra money. You were going to buy stuff on there already.
It supports the show. It's a great way to support the show. So change your bookmark from amazon.com to amazon.t1podcast.com. And then you'll be supporting the show and you won't even know it.
Okay, Joe.
And that's because the first podcast Discord user says, Joe, start yelling. And where can they tune into that chat, Lars?
Discord.t1podcast.com. If you guys want to tune into these episodes live, that's the way to do it. We have a thriving Discord community with lots of... Lots of really extra people.
Extra.
Yeah. That's basically the best way to describe it.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
So, Kevin, I have to ask, how many times have you heard a joke about your last name?
Very many.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't want him to be my lawyer. I'm from Kansas, so it's all about, like, oh, you're not in Kansas anymore. Like it's like a sad bow wow. It's like it doesn't go up, it's just bow.
Bow.
Like, oh man.
Remember that from Scrubs.
How can we trust this guy? Bow. Sad.
Did you grow up with people thinking that you were untrustworthy because of your name?
It's actually a very high vocabulary word. So no. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like, you know what I mean? I don't mean to shut that down either. I feel like I'm shutting down.
Don't worry about it. Shut me down. I love to be shut down.
But
I deserve to be shut down.
Joe can take a beating.
Oh,
I can take saying? A beating. I enjoy taking a beating.
Admiral Joe. because it's like, but by the time people understood what perjury was, let alone that perjurer could be a person that commits perjury, it was too late. It was, it's like, they were, yeah. all the bullies were like, dang it. If only I had known upper level grammar.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you come up with the perfect punchline 10 years later.
Right.
Oh, I could have said this.
They're like, his last name was perjurer. That's great.
I called him Smevin, but I could have called him, you know, whatever.
Liar.
Yeah.
Yep.
My name's Josh Liar. Hi.
How often do you go to Disneyland, Kevin? Do you go there
Disneyland?
Often?
Disneyland?
Do you live in
Florida?
What are your cross streets is what he's asking.
What am I? What?
I just assumed you lived in Hollywood because you're a big time YouTuber.
Yeah, we all hang out in the wood. It's what we call Hollywood, the wood.
The wood?
Oh,
that's funny. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, we walk out.
Yeah, I've never heard that. I live pretty close.
We live basically down the street.
Yeah, we know our way up and down the wood, us YouTubers. And if there's one thing that I can say is that I have been to Disneyland many times. It's a short drive from the wood. I live in Florida, actually, where all the big-time Disney World YouTubers live. So, I mean, I run into people and, you know, there's like, I met people that have like 30,000 subscribers.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's pretty good.
It is good.
Not as good as your count, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I cheat because I use nostalgia. That doesn't count.
Well, it does count because you're tapping into, you know, what people want to hear about. And the fact that you're able
to
do that.
Joe, let him be humble. Just be nice. Be nice, Joe.
All right. Sorry.
I cannot be humble if that's the move.
Feel free to flex if you want.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah. just like hit my, like ruin the audio. Don't record. Leave. I didn't need this show.
I'm too good for this podcast. Yeah.
That's why we have the Craig bot, just in case the guest is like, I don't think I'm actually going to save this file. We can be like, ha ha ha, we got you now.
That's good.
For the audience, if you don't know, by the way, Craig is a recording bot on Discord. If you record a podcast, I highly recommend it. We're not sponsored. It's just saved our ass a lot.
Do you ever meet a YouTuber that has like 30,000? And really, and you ever meet anyone that flexes on you and you're like, you tell them some Disney fact and they're like, oh, well, I run a YouTube channel that has 50,000 subscribers. I think I'd know. And then you're like, bitch, please. Now, that's a very specific situation.
I know, right?
Yeah. And that's how I say it, too.
Does that verbatim ever happen?
That verbatim. No, it's very rare. I think I really don't run into YouTubers that often. No one knows ever really about like subscribership. Most of the people, I mean, what we do is silly. You know, it's not like we're saving dolphins. So there's nothing really like glamorous about it. I'm sure in the vlogger sphere. I'm not in the vlogger sphere. I'm sure that's the case in the vlogger sphere.
Yeah.
I have had some people like come up to me and like introduce a second person as like a big deal. And they're like, you know, he's a big deal. He has like 10,000 subscribers. And then I'm like, that's amazing.
Like this is in real life.
Yeah. In real life. Like someone, because they won't say it themselves. But like someone else will say it about them. Like if
they get someone else to say it for them.
No, it's just that's they're just proud of their friend, or they're proud, you know, proud of, and so it's very innocent, but it's very awkward, because like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. How many subscribers do you have? I'm like, oh, I'm like 590,000. you know, I mean, but it's also like, I don't know, I'm just happy to be here. All the success on YouTube is like a crapshoot. So it's like, it's not, I didn't get to where I am. I like to think part of it was because of the quality of the videos, But it's also just like good timing and luck. I mean, I've gotten lucky so many times. And I'm sure I've gotten unlucky 1,000 other times I don't recognize. And I know there are sometimes I get unlucky that like hit me in the face. But you know, I get really weirdly lucky. Like I did the Action Park video, and then Johnny Knoxville like 2 weeks later like dropped the trailer for Action Point. Or I just like did Astro World, and then a few months later, Travis Scott dropped the album Astro World. Or there's a like the Muppet movie's 40th anniversary came out, you know, a few months after I did my episode on the Muppet Show, and you know, just a bunch of stuff like that. And then it made me realize, oh, I'm not getting lucky. It's just that we just keep talking about old stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm not getting lucky. I'm just the one influencing the culture from behind.
No.
Okay.
That's a, that's actually not entirely inaccurate though. And this, it's true. There have been times where I, and it's always when I bring something like in that's deep in the recess of people's minds. So whether it's like the defunct TV with like Between the Lions, a Bear in the Big Blue House, I will take credit, I think, for reinvigorating the interest in that. So, because there was a lot of people afterwards, like there was a bunch of viral tweets about Bear in the Big Blue House. And then everyone that put those viral, there was like two or three, and everyone that put the viral tweets up, there was like a second one that had like a, like, so like they put the viral tweet up and then there'd be a reply to that tweet that says, credit to Defunctland for reminding me of this. And so there were like, and these were like viral, like hundreds of thousands of retweets kind of thing. Tens of thousands, I don't know. Yeah, hundreds of thousands, I think. And then, you know, so, and then there was a bunch of Bear in the Big Blue House stuff after that. And then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about Bear in the Big Blue House again. And Noel McNeil, who I got on my podcast, all got asked to do a bunch of other stuff. And, you know, that those are, there are times where I do that. And there are times with theme parks where people start talking about the stuff again. So. I think Superstar Limo was a good example like that for Disney fans. They knew about it, but I think that's one that like people just kind of know now. I mean, it's been seen a lot. Nickelodeon Hotel is another one that like people forgot about that and then they remembered. And now, I mean, yeah. So all I can really do is remind and then inform, which is about all I can do. But yeah, that would be, sometimes that does happen. Not a lot, but every once in a while, I'm like, I feel comfortable taking credit for this reinvigoration of interest.
So you're just kind of the puppet master in modern culture, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you found him. I'm the guy. Hello. What do you remember? What do you want to see next?
Westcott. I want a video dedicated to Westcott.
Westcott. Well, they already kind of did that.
You talked about it in various limo videos.
Yeah. Well, no, I can do a video just on Westcott. I think I am going to do a video. You know what? I'm going to do a video on Westcott.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first.
Watch out. That Westcott video is coming hot and heavy.
What is Westcott, by the way, for people who have no idea what the hell you're talking about?
So there's Epcot, which is in Florida, which is a permanent World's Fair-themed theme park. And then instead of California Adventure in Disneyland, they were going to build Westcott, which was Epcot on the west. And I make the joke that it sounds a lot better than Ep West. Westcott. Westcott was going to be Epcot, but instead of in Florida, it was in California, and then they scrapped it.
Whoa.
And they replaced it with a California-themed theme park in the already California-themed California, which is Disney's California Adventure.
There were a lot of reasons why it failed, the idea.
Westcott? Of
Westcott.
Oh, yeah. Joe's passionate about Westcott. That's why he's bringing it up.
When I found out about Westcott, like, a year ago or whatever, I just could not stop researching it. I was obsessed with Westcott.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. What's
fascinating.
What about it fascinates you?
How intricate all of the plans were for the hotels that they were going to have, like 5,000 rooms worth of hotels lining Disneyland Drive. They were going to have like an actual monorail transportation system with people movers. They were going to have just all kinds of like a 300-foot-tall globe. Apparently, this 300-foot-tall globe that was going to basically be this, like the same one they have at Epcot, but I think taller.
Right.
Was apparently like the surrounding people who lived in the neighborhoods hated that idea that it was going to block out the sky.
Yeah, there's a lot about that. Given that that's not a reason it failed, because nobody cares about what those people think.
But I mean, the main reason was money.
It usually is. Or in the case of a few things, it's just weird natural events, tragic events.
It would be so cool to like if they had done it and to be able to visit that, like if there was, I don't know, like VR of that or something.
Right.
But
maybe someday there will be.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe maybe Kevin could create it.
Ooh.
That would be interesting.
We can become the puppet masters behind the puppet master.
Yeah, we're almost done with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the VR recreation.
Cool.
So tell us more about that. I know that you do VR recreation, but can you elaborate a little bit on what that means and what that's all about?
Yeah, so we take the ride, we make it in VR, and then you can ride it in VR. I'm not the one doing this. That's about as much as I know.
Oh.
About the process. There's a lot of great volunteers. It's a non-for-profit project. There's been other people that have done this for other rides, and we're trying to collaborate with them and like see, like, okay, if we need your ride and you need our ride, let's swap rides, give us your assets, you take our assets, and we'll build our own little park. It's pretty cool. I guess I can share a picture. Let me see if I can find it. I guess, well, this is an audio podcast, so I don't know why that would help.
No, we can link to it in the show notes if it's interesting. That's fine.
Oh, if it's interesting. Okay, so there's a barrier. There's a barrier for entry.
If it's not, then you wouldn't.
If it's boring, this is just going to be a really awkward part of the show.
But that's fine. Just go, oh, that was boring, everyone.
Just like, oh, this was boring. And then it's like just a really bad ADR.
It's a lot of setup for...
No payoff.
Very little payoff.
Okay, here we go.
I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Okay.
So you take like footage of the videos and they put like a bunch of different videos of it together that you're able to find or something like that?
Oh, no. So they actually virtually recreate every single asset. So if there's a squid animatronic, they create a squid. Like they construct it in VR. Why can't I post a picture? I feel
Send it to us.
No, just post it. Just post it. Yeah, go ahead and send it to Joe. He'll post it.
Oh, it's because images are turned off.
Recording
chat.
Why? Because this is going to be a Discord-centric podcast.
Oh, there you go. I gave you the permissions. I'll edit this out.
Whoops. Okay.
We should leave it in.
Yeah, leave all this.
All this meta discussion in.
All this delicious confusion.
That's really cool.
So that's the entire ride from above at night lit up. Again, this is a visual thing. Then you can also see kind of there's a little museum for 20,000 Leagues towards the left of the show building. And then there's the center icon, which is the sorcerer's hat, all the way to the left. So we're recreating it. It looks really cool. Yeah, but the VR people, they go in and they build it from scratch. I mean, they model it, you know, the same way you would model a animated film or a video game.
Yeah, if you want to see what we're talking about, by the way, if you're listening to this right now, go ahead and take out your phone or the device that you're using and check out the show notes. Is this a mock-up or is this actually
the actual
product? Okay.
This is what it looks like from above.
That's pretty cool.
Wait, is that a hidden Mickey?
Where?
Or am I just seeing things in the left side?
It's possibly. I'd have to ask the crew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, this is not my domain. I'm a documentarian, video editor, narrator.
What's your favorite ride in both parks? Well, in both resorts.
Yeah, earlier about the 100% thing, this is not included in that 100%. This is me 0%. Using only my influence to get people. Sorry, what was the question?
What's your favorite attraction between both resorts in America?
Between both resorts.
Not counting. Yeah. Have you been to Disneyland Paris or the other?
No. Place? No, I've never been outside of the country. Unfortunately. Someday I would like to go, but I've never been.
Paris is cool. Disneyland Paris is a lot like the one in California, kind of.
Right.
What do you mean, a lot or kind of?
Wait, what?
It's kind of a lot like, it's sort of like it.
Sort of like it, but no.
The layout is similar. Except everyone's speaking French.
I'm trying to think. I think the best ride would probably be People Mover at Walt Disney World.
That's a good one. Why do you say People Mover?
Because it's like 15 minutes and it's slow. You just get on, cools you down.
It's true.
Futuristic transportation. I like to think of what it would be like if that was the actual transport, my actual commute every day.
That'd be nice.
I got in this open air bench that slowly moved me towards my destination.
And then afterwards, wait, that goes through Space Mountain, right?
Right.
And then you know how you get off Space Mountain and it has like the futuristic like living rooms of the future?
Yes, I do.
But they were designed in like the 80s or something, so it's futuristic based on the 80s?
Yeah.
So it's like retro, but vintage and futuristic at the same time.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Is it?
There was no question. I was following your train of thought and I was expecting to be like, what did you think about that? I was like,
oh yeah, Joe, this is a podcast. You got to ask like a question to continue the conversation.
Isn't that neat?
Don't you agree with me that I think that's kind of cool? Yeah, I do agree with you. That is kind of cool.
All right.
By the way, what would be your useless superpower? Just to get off topic a little bit.
That's easy. I have a bunch of these. I think laser pointer vision, where I have laser vision, but it's just laser pointers. So I could blind someone if it's just really slow. I can really stare into their eyes. Or I can also, like, if I had like a feral army of cats, I can use them to like, I could point my eyes at someone and then all the cats would like attack them.
Well, that's super useful.
Yeah, you're just describing like a really like kind of ghetto way to like destroy people.
I think I have a character I've been workshopping and wanting to pitch to Marvel. His name is Plane Crash Man. He can cause any commercial airline to crash at any time, but the Avengers never want him to use that power because of the collateral damage. And so in every situation, like, we got to beat Thanos. And then he would be like, I could crash that plane that's right there. It's a Delta Airlines. And he's like, no, that's okay, Plane Crash Man. We don't need you to do that. That's all right. And he's like, are you sure I can crash it? No, we can figure it out. We can figure out another way. Super like useful, but useless because of the implications.
Yeah.
Let me keep going with this. I have a bunch of others. Thunder Girl was another use because she can make thunder, but that's it.
She could provide really high quality Foley assets.
Yeah, no lightning, just thunder. Very intimidating, but no delivery. B-Man, who's actually super useful, but dies after his first attack.
Oh.
Like, so he just has a giant stinger, and he loves honey, and he loves flowers. But at the moment, like, you know, like if a gang came up on him, like a gang of villains, he would, like, attack the first one, stab it through the chest, and then he would just die.
So it's just a bee, basically?
It's just a big bee. But, like, that one that he got, it would kill him pretty hard.
All right.
What about the ability to artificially inflate your numbers on a YouTube channel?
That would be so useful.
Without anyone actually having seen them on a YouTube channel that is only set to private. So nobody knows it
but you. Nobody knows that you... So, like, you get, what, the satisfaction that you got that many views and knowing that it was you and knowing that you tricked no one?
No, well, you didn't actually get the views.
I know. So you would know. So you have private videos that have millions of views. You know it was you that did that. And you know that no one else knows that you did that.
At the best, you could screenshot it.
So, basically, you just Photoshopped. For a practical sense. Like, you just Photoshopped.
By the way... Mr. Meatman in the chat, which, hi, by the way, is saying, B-Movie Man, is that the power to, like, be able to recite the script of B-Movie, or what is that?
Another super.
That's pretty useless. Should we have Mr. Meatman come on air, and if you want to, explain what you mean by that? If you're in a position to do that, Mr. Meatman?
He's unmuted.
Okay, yeah, would you like to explain what you mean by B-Movie Man?
Kevin, this is one of our previous guests.
Hey,
Mr. Meatman.
Hey, Mr. Meatman.
Oh, my mic is fucking up, actually. Just wanted.
Oh.
Well, it's all right. We could. This will just be a funny part of the episode.
We can't hear you, bud.
And.
Are you cutting out?
What?
Oh.
That's the end of that.
We should leave that whole thing in.
Sorry, Meatman. Okay, let's get back to the episode. So.
Hey, what do you think of the transportation system in Disney World? A lot of people that I've talked to say they don't like it because it feels too much like it takes them out of it. Like they're in a public transportation system or something. So they actually will just opt for Ubers.
What?
Kevin. So you know how you have to take the buses?
They're concerned that they're concerned that their immersive experience at Disney will be ruined. So they opt for an Uber.
Well, basically, I don't know if you have taken the buses and whatnot to the hotels because you live there. So I don't know if you stay in the resorts when you visit or not. But when I've been there a few times, and when I go, I have to take the bus back to the hotel, and you have to wait for the bus to come, and you have to go in there, and it's crowded, and you have to stand up, or sometimes you have to take a couple buses, and you have to transfer a couple times on the monorail, and you have to run through the rain to catch your connection, and it takes so long that it takes you out of it. You're like, I wish that you could just transport from one place to another or something. And Uber is better sometimes because it's only like a 7-minute drive, but it'll be like a, you know, say half an hour to get there.
This
you have
an
to
ad?
Wait for the bus.
It's an advertisement?
No, I'm just saying it's, you know, that's the one thing about Disney World that is kind of annoying.
Joe, what are you doing?
The transportation system.
Is this a question? Joe,
we're not sponsored by them. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying has that ever come up before to you? People complain about the buses there?
I rarely get guest services tickets, like complaints. But
all right.
Usually I'm in a car myself. So, I mean, all I right. know the bus, I do know what you're saying. The buses do suck. I don't like to take them. I guess right. in many situations you would rather take an Uber.
All right.
Was there any point to that at all, Joe?
I don't know. Let's move on.
Please.
Is this going well? Is this going bad?
No, this is good.
Okay.
No, this is going just fine. That was just a really weird thing that Joe was doing.
I just was, it just occurred to me, yeah, the buses are kind of bad. Just something to
okay
bring up.
Joe, talk about his channel. Talk about like what he does. Don't all just right, bitch right. about the bus.
Your channel actually, so before... All right, so before this interview, I was actually thinking to myself, I remember before they remodeled California Adventure, it used to look differently.
Yes.
And there was a train sprawled out on the side and the bridge, and it was just really shitty. And I was like, I don't even remember. It left such little of an impression. I don't even remember what it looked like. So I was literally on Google, Googling, like, what did it look like before? And I clicked on some YouTube video. It happened to be your YouTube video. It wasn't even trying to. It was just your YouTube video came up, and it was the one that had the video of what it used to look like when it opened.
Thank you.
So it's, I guess you have really good search optimization or something.
Yeah, I tend to have good search engine optimization. Yeah.
What's your opinion on boars?
Boars?
Yeah.
The pig-like animal?
Right. yeah.
Believe it or not, this is a common question that we ask.
Big boars people, I guess.
Well, no, we're not. Just
Well, first answer the question, then we'll give the back yep. that backstory.
Is
we don't want to
affect
ruin it.
The backstory, what my answer is? I don't have any...
No, we just don't want to affect your
yes,
answer.
It will.
I don't have any strong opinions on boars.
All right.
Me neither.
Me neither. One of our audience members, Retro Nemo, he's the one that just posted four boar emojis in a row. He is obsessed with boars. And at first, he asked this innocent enough question about boars. And then
he'd ask every time we'd have a guest on, he would ask us to ask the boar question for some reason.
And then we asked him more and more for information. Why are you so obsessed with this? And he never told us why. But we found out that he has Google notifications for when any news articles are posted about boars. He's very knowledgeable on boars. It's like,
it's weird.
An interest of his.
We have weird fans. Like, we have weird people that listen to this show.
What should we do? What can we do?
Help! What do we do?
What do we do, Kevin?
The question is, what do we do? I don't know what you do about that. Everybody got weird fans.
Hey, I have a question.
Okay.
Can we ask a normal question, though, for once that's not like goofy or like a fake ad for Uber?
No, it's not. I have a real question. Okay. Have you ever been recognized in real life?
Yes.
He's Brad Pitt, so of course he gets recognized all the time.
Yeah, it's constant. I was on Ellen the other day. I'm just kidding. My voice gets recognized like once in a blue moon.
And then do you have any like particularly interesting stories about a time that's happened, or is it just people going like, oh, I know you?
I think the weirdest thing is people realizing they met me after the fact.
Oh.
Because I'll often be hanging out with people. Like, recent example was I was at Disneyland with Jenny Nicholson, and I, and as well as Disney Dan and some other people, you know, that are fairly well known in the theme park sphere. And people would come up to, you know, Jenny or Dan, or Dan from TPM, or Mark from Yesterworld. I mean, all these people that actually show their face, all these people that are kind of do similar things that I do. And they would, they come up to them and they'd say, "Oh my gosh, can I take a picture, with you?" Not me, but the person I'm with. And then I'd be like, "Oh yeah." And then they'd be like, "Oh yeah, of course. Thanks for watching the show." And I'd be like, "Great." I'm like, "Do you want me to take your picture?" And then I'd take the picture and I'd hand it back. And then they'd get home. And then someone would post, like, "Had a great day with Kevin at, Disney World today." And they'd be like, "That was you? Why didn't you say anything?" I was like, "What was I supposed to say? Like, hey, I also have a YouTube channel. Yeah. Do you watch my YouTube channel as well? Would you like a picture with me?" They're like, "No, I don't watch that." Or they're like, "Oh, I do watch that. Can I take a picture with you?" And I'll be like, "No, I'm sorry."
Well, to be fair, also, I think you go out of your way not to show your face, right?
I go out of my way. I just don't do it. And I try not to. I ask people to cover my face if they're going to post the photo.
Whereas Jenny is very recognizable for, you know, her appearance.
Right. Like, because she's a frontward facing. She's on camera in her videos.
And you are not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an expert on Jenny Nicholson. She is a YouTuber from San Mateo.
Joe, it sounds like you're reading something right now.
I'm not reading anything. She's an actress and a writer known for Friendship is Witchcraft in 2011. I know that offhand because I'm an expert on that. I was reading. And anything else? Any stories about times that you?
What is going on with you in this episode?
I don't know. I'm just
extra Joe.
I think this is
the chat saying this is the weirdest Joe's been in a while. I apologize, Kevin. Joe is kind of the cringe guy on the show, but not usually to this extent. Oh, this is awkward.
It's fine. It's not awkward.
Can we get back on track, please?
Yes. You want stories?
Well, I was just going to ask.
Can you define that a little bit better, Joe? Don't you like give us stories, puppets?
All right. I don't know. Has there been another time that you've been recognized? I don't know.
Joe, if you don't have a good question, I can move on and ask one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
We'll circle back to my question.
Okay. Kevin, do you have any big plans for your channel in the future?
More videos. Okay. We have Defunct Land Season 3 coming up, which I'm really excited about. More Defunct TV videos, older Defunct TV videos about some old Disney Channel stuff. Like, I'm talking old Disney Channel. Disney Channel that is not nostalgic for anybody unless you were like a rich kid in the 80s.
So it's like super niche, boring stuff is what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
A little bit more generally speaking, though, is this something that you plan on doing kind of indefinitely, or do you have goals for where you're going to go from here, or what's going on?
Well, I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing right now. I'm always trying to expand and improve, but the way the film industry goes, I think you just do it as long as people watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kevin Smith is a good example of that. Because he still has a thriving fan base and he's never done anything differently. I don't know. YouTube could shut down tomorrow. That'd be very bad.
Yeah. I mean, you could always start a podcast. Oh, wait, you have a podcast. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
So you have a podcast. What is that podcast about?
It's about kind of what the show's about. It's usually I do post episodes where I interview someone that worked on the attraction or worked on the TV show or was in the TV show and ask them, you know, some very specific questions.
Interesting.
That's about cool. What they do.
Has there been a favorite episode of yours?
No, not necessarily. Every episode brings something new to the table. I really enjoy pretty much every guest. I've never had a bad guest. I like episodes where the guest just kind of goes off on stories and I can just kind of sit back and listen. I like ones that are very conversation based. You know, I try to let them decide, try to make them feel comfortable.
So kind of the opposite of what Joe's doing here.
Yeah.
The chat is saying that they like the one with, and I'm going to quote here, that one Disney Imagineer.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
No.
Okay, you guys are going to have to be a little bit more specific.
I've interviewed about 4 or 5 Disney Imagineers at the very least.
Who have you interviewed?
I've interviewed Terry Harden, Rick Rothschild, Trader Brandon, Tim Delaney. And I've interviewed another person that I'm forgetting.
You know, I used to be a Jungle Cruise skipper.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sure did.
How'd you like that?
I liked it a lot. I did that for 3.5 years. I brought out onto the river somewhere in the neighborhood of 200,000 to 300,000 people. And that's where I learned to deliver comedy to people and to sort of perfect that awkward humor. I would, we weren't really supposed to improvise too much, but I would kind of push it to its limit.
Really?
Yeah. It would just come up with whatever, say
stuff. Yeah, there's a reason he doesn't work there anymore.
Well, that's not true. I quit. I didn't get fired. But
yeah, that's the reason. You quit.
It was fun. It was really a great time. I enjoyed it immensely.
Okay.
Yeah. Jungle Cruise was actually the original attraction that they started building before everything else because they had to give the trees time to grow.
Joe, when you say attraction, by the way, just for the audience's sake, why do you keep saying that specifically?
That's what they call the rides.
Oh, okay.
They're not rides.
Yeah, just explain for the audience if they may not know that.
What's your opinion on the Jungle Cruise? Are you a fan of those?
What do you mean? What's
jokes?
Your opinion on the Jungle Cruise, Joe?
Yeah, some people like it. Some people don't care for it. You know,
it's fine. A little racist. It's fine.
Oh, because of the natives.
Yeah, the cannibalism insinuations and
yeah.
Wait, did they still do that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they go hard too. They have like 5 cannibal jokes with a native at the end. His name is Trader Joe.
Trader Sam.
Sorry, yeah. Trader Joe's You're is good. The name of the
grocery store.
Trader Joe. All right. Okay. Let's take some questions from the audience, by the way, because we've been kind of not giving any of them. Joe, did any stand out?
I think Simisir had a question that he really wanted to ask. Do you have a mic?
A couple people were begging to come on and give a question from the audience. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Simisir, you're unmuted.
Oh, hello. I just want to say first and foremost,
you
Kevin,
come on our podcast. You don't introduce yourself.
Oh, sorry. Hello. My name is Simisir, but you can call me Zach. That's my real name. But I just wanted to say, Kevin.
You don't wait for the response.
I want to hear what he has to say about me. I'm really worried.
You are one of my favorite YouTubers. Oh, legit. Good. I'm really excited whenever you upload. It's always a good motivator for my day. And I just wanted to ask, what has there ever been a Defunct Land video that you wanted to do, but due to some other things you weren't able to do it? Or was there anything you couldn't really find to make an interesting video out of?
Yeah. The best example is Disney Cruise Lines Arcade with like 3 R's. I never got to do an episode on that because I just couldn't find enough information. Essentially, it was an arcade on the Disney Cruise Line, and that's it.
Oh, man. You know what? I don't think you could stretch that out that much. I kind of agree there.
Well, don't sell me short. I think I'm going to figure it out. I haven't yet. I've been looking at it for a while. So far, it's still an arcade, but it was replaced by Vanellope's Sweet Shop, which is a Wreck-It Ralph themed ice cream shop, which I thought was kind of ironic that Wreck-It Ralph, the video game movie, replaced the arcade. So, and that's about as far as I've got. So if you have like 6 more pages, let me know. I so far have 2 sentences, but
One second. Let me just I actually have been researching this. Let me just in the recording chat real quick.
You've prepared. I'm really glad.
You've come prepared.
I better get credited for this work, Kevin. I better get some clout.
You're gonna work for clout. Everybody loves to work for yeah. Promotion. That works out really well for everybody.
Yeah, I already got a job. I don't care.
Clout don't pay no bills, son.
I already got a job.
So Simisir, you're gonna have to quit your job if you expect to, you know, work for Kevin.
Wait, has this turned into like a job interview? What's going on right
what,
now?
What do you bring to the table, Simisir? What do you?
I'm really good at doing what I'm told. I'm
very obedient, very
what's
loyal.
What's your biggest weakness? Are you a perfectionist?
I sometimes get distracted, but I've gotten over that recently. Also, I have Tourette's, So I sometimes type things wrong because of physical tics, but that's pretty much it. My biggest strength is I'm very honest about my flaws.
All right, you're hired.
All right, thank you.
You're hired. Great. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for watching.
Moving on. Okay.
Thank you for the question, Simis here. We appreciate it.
Got one more from a member of the server named Drumarts who has an anecdote that's related to your channel.
It's different than an antidote.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Drumarts. So the first time I came across your channel was because of the Action Park video. And it was very interesting because as you were describing the park, I started to recognize some of the attractions, like the Tarzan swing and stuff. And then like halfway through the video, you mentioned that it was they changed their name to like Mountain Creek or something. I was like, oh, shit, that's the amusement park I used to go to when I was a kid. And then I just like realized I've been going to like a death park my whole life and I didn't even realize it.
You know, life is kind of like a death park. But
yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that's funny. I had some other people that didn't realize, but the kind of the same situation. They were like, oh yeah, that's that looks familiar. That looks exactly, is that me? And I'm like,
man. Also, didn't you get injured there, Drumarts?
Oh yeah, no. I actually got injured on the Tarzan swing. Yeah, no, I got like badly injured.
Can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah. See, I went on there once and it went okay. So, I think my parents or something, they wanted to like record it or something. Like me doing it again. So, but the second time I went again, I guess I let go at the wrong point or something because I belly flopped really hard and my like body went like purple like the next day or something because like the bruises, it was terrible.
You hit internal bleeding?
I think I had to go like to the doctor and shit. It was bad.
Yeah, that's Action bad. Park was like remarkably unsafe. When I watched that video, I was just like amazed that this was somehow okay.
But it was.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
All right.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Anybody else have a question?
Are you aware of Celebration City is one that they're asking? Yes, I am. Celebration City is a really interesting park. It was Silver Dollar City, which is in Branson, Missouri, the Las Vegas of the Midwest. The Silver Dollar City is still operating. It's like a frontier land kind of amusement park. And then they built Celebration City, which was far from Silver Dollar City, and the entire point was you're supposed to go to Silver Dollar City during the day and then enter Celebration City at night. Like Silver Dollar City was supposed to be like 1800s, early 1800s, and then Celebration City was like early 1900s or late 1800s or something.
Yeah.
So it was two theme parks built on the model that you were supposed to leave one and go to the other, which is a fantastic idea and went terribly.
Okay, another question from the audience real quick. Have you ever done a video that you started on but didn't finish because you had to scrap it?
Well, not really. I mean, writing, I've started writing a bunch of videos and I've scrapped them, but I've never actually recorded something. The one thing I have not, you know, edited yet is I recorded a Videopolis redo.
Okay.
It's like 25 minutes instead of the 7 minutes the original video is.
All right.
I just haven't had a time. Excuse me, I'm dying. Read it on. I mean, go edit it. Excuse me.
What is the best attraction created in the history of theme parks so far?
Horizons. They killed it.
All right. Chat's also asking, will you do a history of Legoland vid?
Maybe. What's defunct at Legoland?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't they have to go out of business first?
Maybe the park that came before it.
Oh, okay.
Lego
Cypress Gardens, World. I think. That's the
name of it, maybe. Oh. You ever covered Knott's Berry Farm? Some defunct stuff there.
There is. I have not done it yet. I'm excited to, though.
I used to work at Knott's, too.
Oh, wow.
That's why I asked.
Were you at Knott's, Jungle Cruise Skipper?
Yeah, I was a Jungle Cruise Skipper at Knott's. No, I worked in food and beverage in that old Fiesta Village, selling burritos and tacos.
How were the burritos?
You know, the meat was not the best quality. I don't think. I remember on many occasions guests wanting to buy a water bottle for like $4, and I would talk them out of it and convince them to just get a cup of water instead. Oh, just get a cup of water. You know, it's filtered water. It's, you know, save your money. And then my manager was like, "Why don't you sell them the bottle of water?" I'm like, "Oh, they should save their money, you know." So,
this is riveting, Joe.
I don't know. It was not an exciting job. Sorry.
I guess it was Cedar Point by the time you were working there.
It was Knott's Berry Farm when I was there.
But... Right, but it was Cedar Fair, the company that owned Knott's. It yes. wasn't like Mr. and Mrs. Knott's weren't going to come over and say, stop giving away water.
Yeah. It was Cedar Fair by then.
Okay. Good to know, I guess, that the meat was not great. This is really interesting podcast material. Let's talk about something else.
So Michael Eisner sort of had a bad reputation.
He did.
All right, moving on.
Joe, you got to ask a question. You can't just make an observation.
Someone asked, what's your favorite? Oh, well, the retro Nemo guy asked, what's your favorite attraction involving boars? And it would be the Country Boar Jamboree.
There we go.
A bunch of boars playing country music.
Oh, Joe, they're asking what the quality of Disneyland food is in comparison.
Disneyland has better food, I think.
Why?
Just better quality.
Isn't it like really expensive?
Am I here just to be an
though?
Excuse to talk about theme parks?
No, not at all. It's just that Joe has worked at them before.
Oh, so, gotcha. See, I feel like less of a authority. I've never worked at one.
Well, it's fine. I mean, you probably have done way more research than I ever have. And most of my Disney knowledge is not qualified by research. It's word of mouth knowledge.
Yeah, Joe's the dumbass here.
I'm the dumbass.
Yeah.
You're the smart one.
Yep.
I'm the buffoon.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay. So what's the process behind, like, how much time does it take to research this stuff and get everything in order for it to make a video?
Every video usually takes between 2 to 3 hours to make. I'm just kidding. They take weeks and weeks and weeks. The Jim Henson series, I started a year before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Defunctland season 3 has been in my mind for over a year now, just developing it and trying to shape it into something. Each individual episode, usually knock out the script if I'm focused and can do an 8-hour day of writing, which is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
If I can do that, usually 2 to 3 days. So about 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours, we'll get a script done and ready to record. Recording takes 20, 30 minutes, maybe sometimes an hour. And then editing is, I usually edit at a rate of about a minute, one finished minute an hour.
Hmm.
So for a video that's 25 minutes long, that's 25 hours of editing.
I noticed, by the way, that you mentioned that these are episodes, and it's something that some people choose to characterize their channel videos as, but the more common term is usually like, oh, I put out a new video. So is the idea of breaking it up into seasons and episodes, is it to make it more like a TV show, or what are you going for with that?
Yeah, I try to make it a TV show as much as I can to give people that expectation coming in, because there's no real YouTube tropes in the show.
Right.
You know, there's no,
like, at all.
Yeah, at all. There's a few jokes I crack, you know, and I think those are like slow burns.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the recent episodes, at least, it's been a lot of, you know, these are episodes that are, if you watch them in order, you will get something more out of them than if you watch them singularly. At the same time, if you click on them alone, you're not going to feel like you're missing out, like, because each episode is a contained story. But each season is themed to something. So the season 3 is all themed to the World's Fair and Tomorrowland and Epcot and the visions of the future and the revisionism of the past. While season 2 was about Eisner and his fall and the battle between creativity and business, as well as expanding internationally with looking at like other international parks. So the seasons allow me to do bigger stories, bigger arcs. And so if you watch the season, you'll feel like, oh, I went on a journey. Like it was like, oh, I just watched a TV show.
Do you ever get tied up in legal situations because of the footage you use and stuff like that?
Very rarely. It's happened before. I just try to be as nice as I can. Very rarely has anything really come up. It's never with Disney, never with any of those people. They wouldn't, I don't think they would ever do that. Try to come at me with something like that, because that would look really bad, because I'm not being kind to them. I mean, I'm being fair, but I'm not being kind. So if they were to try to shut down the channel, they'd be trying to shut down like voices of dissent or at least someone trying to tell an accurate version of the history of their company. Which that's a major violation of free speech and fair use. With some creators, like little creators that just kind of shot a video and they're like, oh, that was my video. You took my video. Normally they're happy with it. Sometimes I run into issues and then, you know, we have to discuss like, all right, what do we got to do to make this okay? And, you know, say, I think it's fair use. And, yeah, very rarely has it resulted in never gone to court, never gotten close to going to court. Rarely has it resulted in anything.
I can also imagine, since you're covering defunct rides and defunct theme parks, that there's not that much to sue for.
Well, it's a matter of, like, I shot that video myself, and, oh, okay, and you took it without permission, when in reality it's like I credited you and I used it in fair use. You know, you weren't actually supposed to be even shooting those videos at the park, unless for some reason they were a licensed photographer. But in most cases, any video you shoot at Disney is owned by Disney for all intents and purposes.
Okay. Joe, any last questions for our guests?
So if you record something at Disney and then put it on YouTube and monetize it, that could be a problem because they own it technically?
No, it's more of, it's just like a fail-safe for them to say anything. You know, it's just like a clause they put in there, like, oh, you're entering the park. Anything you shoot is, I mean, I don't know if Disneyland and Walt Disney World both do this, but it's just basically, it's a blanket coverage. They'll never actually act on it, and unless there's a really weird case. But it's similar to how, I mean, if you take a picture of the Mona Lisa, you didn't, you know, make the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
You can argue that you shouldn't have used my picture, which is a depiction of, but that's really hard to argue. So if you're taking a video of someone else's thing, unless you do a lot more to it, I mean, it's just, it's hard. Not that, I don't know how that would hold up in court, but it's kind of just understood, like, you know, just credit me, and if you really want, link, that kind of thing, and that's fine. That usually works out.
Have you ever stayed at the resorts in Disney World, even though you live? Which resorts have you stayed at?
I live about 3 hours from Disney. I don't live in Orlando.
Oh, okay. I've assumed you lived, like, close to it.
No, not necessarily. So I've stayed at Coronado Springs. I've stayed at the Polynesian. I've stayed at Caribbean Resort. I've stayed at...
I've stayed at Caribbean, too.
I've stayed at Bay Lake Tower. Yeah, I think those are the only on... Oh, I've stayed at Saratoga Springs.
What about the value resorts?
No, I've never stayed there.
Just no interest?
If I'm going to go for a value resort in my mind, I'm going to just get $100 a night at, like, Holiday Inn or something. That's what I usually do when I go down.
Have you gotten the dining plan?
excuse me.
Sorry.
It was a big old sneeze.
You're excused.
You should play with that sneeze in editing, though.
Just make it really loud.
No, all copy right. And paste it all over the place to make it sound like he sneezes, like, all the time. Have you ever had the dining plan?
Yes, once, but a long time ago.
I've gone, out of the three times I went, I think I got the dining plan twice. It's convenient, but I don't think it really saves you any money unless you're going to go to a lot of sit-down restaurants anyway. But it's an interesting thing they offer. They don't offer that at Disneyland.
No, they don't.
Oh, hey, Joe, since you're like this huge TikToker for Disneyland, do you have any other tips?
Do I have tips? What?
About TikTok? For people who go to Disneyland.
So in the chat, there's a couple people saying that I should mention that you know TikTok?
Yeah.
So I use TikTok and I record a lot of videos at Disneyland, and I guess I'm pretty popular on there. And so naturally I use the hashtag Disneyland a lot, that hashtag, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to hashtag Disneyland, and actually I realized this a couple of days ago, and you scroll down for the, you know, first 100 videos, let's say top 100 videos, I actually have 9 out of the top 100 videos for hashtag Disneyland, which is more than any other TikToker in the whole world. So I talk about, like, secret bathrooms that people don't know about, or just reviewing the bathrooms, or just random stuff. It's mostly jokes, but I don't really have, Lars, I don't really have any tips or anything.
Okay, maybe I'll just cut that part then, because that was kind of going nowhere. Just
shilling, yeah.
You did admit that you film in bathrooms. That was interesting.
No, not inside the bathroom. I go up
no,
to the...
No, definitely inside the bathroom, Joe. I've seen the videos. It's kind of disgusting.
Only up to the door.
Okay, all right.
Not inside the bathroom, because that's illegal.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin.
Hi.
If people wanted to check out your stuff, what would be the best way to do that?
YouTube.com/defunctland.
Okay. Do you have a website?
No. I do, but don't go on it.
I was going to say, yes, you do. I'm on it right now.
Very broken.
Okay.
There's an advertisement for the book that's sold out.
Okay. And your Twitter is Defunctland if they want to follow you?
Yeah, at Defunctland, which I don't know why you'd want to follow me. I'm also on Instagram at Defunctland Official. I'm very bad at Instagram, as you can tell by my personality.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, at me on Facebook.
At me?
No, it's at, I mean, at Defunctland.
Oh, okay. All right. And for people maybe who are driving or like half paying attention, how do you spell Defunctland? Just real quick.
Defunctland. It's Defunctland, no space.
Okay. Sounds good. And Joe, we should probably remind them about our stuff.
Go to amazon.t1podcast.com and make that your bookmark. Go to patreon.com/t1podcast and join our $2 tier for special listening privileges and to listen into the episodes before they come out. Go to t1podcast.com to see all of our episodes and go to nord.t1podcast.com, coupon code the first podcast.
Joe, you sound like a literal robot right now. Like your voice is not wavering at all. Guys, if you've been listening to the show for a little while now and you want to get cool benefits on the Discord, early listening access to bonus episodes of the show, literally no one else but you can check them out as patrons. You can go to patreon.com/t1podcast. And if you're tuning in for the first time and you want to check out more episodes of the show where we regularly interview content creators from YouTube, musicians, the occasional politician, and so on and so forth, you can go to t1podcast.com. We have links on there to our Spotify page, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everything else. And I think that's going to do it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It has been a great honor, as well as a privilege, to sit here and ask you some questions. Sorry for the weirdness. My character here is kind of an awkward guy.
I figured it was part of an elongated bit. I thought it was like on an Eric Andre type show, and I just kind of I just kind of went with it, and I hope I was keeping up.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, we call it the Joe character.
Yeah. No, it's at, I think I hope I played off of it well. And
I think so.
Awesome. But no, that was a lot of fun.
There were a couple bits that I think are going to be particularly funny regarding that. But anyway, once again, thanks. Did you have any
what? just talk like a normal person to close out the episode.
All right.
Are we still on?
Technically, yeah. We should probably close it out.
Yeah.
All right.
She just ended there.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.